This morning, we are very excited to have Andrew Baker with us. Andrew is from Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas. He teaches in the Bible and the communications departments there, also works with their leadership program. He has been a good friend since college days, long, long ago. He and his wife, Amy, have three kids and also three foster boys there at their home, so they've got a lot going on. Amy also teaches at Harding. Andrew loves to talk to teenagers especially, but all of us this morning. He runs the summer camp there at Harding, where they bring in well over 1,000 kids every summer and talk a lot about God and things that matter. And we're really excited to have Andrew with us today. I'll bring Andrew up, and we'll pray for him, and then I'll let him speak to you. God, we thank you this morning for Andrew. We thank you for his heart, for his desire to tell people about you, for his desire to show love in what he does. And help him this morning as he brings our rally weekend to a close to relay the things that he would like to say and the things that you would have him to say. And most of all, help us to glorify you as a result of what happens here today. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
If you have your Bibles, you can open with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. We'll be there in a moment. All right, check this out. So if you haven't been here with us this weekend, Brian mentioned in the communion thoughts, we've been having some fun with technology, and we're about to have some more fun. You guys ready? Now let me tell you first off, that Emily, that's Deacon's mom, she posted this right about the time church was starting. The doctors just came through, and we are being moved out of PICU today and back into intermediate care. He hasn't had any apnea for 2 days now, and his respiratory rate is consistently lowering back into the normal range, so we feel good about him moving. Thank you so much for your continued prayers. All right, nice. Yeah, that's right, that's right. Brad Montague texted me back, "Oh my," was his response. Thank you, friend. So, so, so cool. Please send our love in return. Little man is home and healing, overwhelmed by all the love. Miss you. And then Sullivan, who we texted to start this morning, if you remember, he simply texted back, "Wow, blown away. God is faithful. The church is beautiful." All right, time to go show off again to somebody who doesn't know what's going about to happen. I'm loving this. All right, so here's the deal. Right now in Searcy, Arkansas, like right now, because they're like 2 hours in front of you, you understand, right? Or behind or whatever it is. I have to play catch up tonight, I know that much. But anyways, they're 2 hours and there is a baby shower happening right now. Right now. My wife is hosting it with my two daughters. And the baby shower is for the mother of two little girls who lived at our house for about a year, who've gone back to mom and their family, and it's awesome. Except mom, she's battling because she's got some really good voices in her life saying, you're a good mom and you can do this, and she's got some people that I just can't stand. So here's what we're going to do. I texted her a while ago, and I said, hey, do you have unlimited text messaging? That's a really weird question to come from me. She texted back, yes. Why? Question mark. I didn't text anything back. Here's what I need you to do. Get out your phone. You ready? We're about to tell her she's an amazing mom and she's a gift to the world. That's going to be our gift. And her phone is going to go nuts in a baby shower. This is about to be awesome. Okay, here we go. You ready? Her name's Skylar. In case you want to tell her your name, that would be cool. Her number is 304-771-6907. 304-771-6907. Here's the deal. Tell her she's a great mom, because she is. It's true. Sometimes you just have to be reminded, and she's about to get about 150 of those reminders. This is awesome. Because you see, love does not only in the face of sickness and physical challenges, love does in the face of spiritual Challenges. Yes, ma'am. S-K-Y, great question, L-A-R. S-K-Y-L-A-R. Just tell her. All right? And after church is over, I got another idea. If you want to give me a couple of bucks, I'm going to buy a gift from Eugene, Oregon for her. That's I'm going to do that before I leave town. Buy her a baby gift from Eugene, Oregon. That way she'll always know that there's these people in Oregon who think she's a good mom. You see, this is called believing in people like Jesus did. It's interesting, Mark chapter 12. Some words actually we read in Matthew, if you were here on Friday night. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is most important of all?" And Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other God besides him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions. The question came to Jesus, "What is most important?" And Jesus says, "Love. And to love not only the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, but then to also love your neighbor as yourself." You just texted a neighbor named Skylar, and you loved on her. And her phone's going to blow up, and this is going to be really funny. And man, will it be a reminder. That baby's going to come on Thursday. When baby comes on Thursday, little big sisters who lived with me for a while are coming back to our house for a couple of days. This is going to be interesting. We're going to go from 8 people to 10 people at our house. We don't have a vehicle big enough to get everyone around. This is going to be fun. They all think they're related. They all call each other cousins. They are not related, for the record. But love, it just becomes, well, as my buddy Bob Goff, who wrote the book Love Does, says, it becomes whimsical. It becomes an enjoyment of embracing God and loving the world in which he has created. Because we love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Guess what? When you put mind, heart, mind, soul, and strength out there, there doesn't leave anything out. That's all of you. All of anything about us loves. Today, this morning, I end 2 stories. One is personal. One of the 5, as I said last night, defining moments in my life. And the other's a parable that I hope you leave here and see how significant it becomes. F.W. Maddox was 90 years old. And if you were at Bible class, you know that I talked about Richard Conder, another 90. And both of these men were in my life roughly about the same time, interestingly enough. But F.W. Maddox, he has a really important role that he played in my life. You see, F.W. Maddox was a man who was called by a group of men in Lubbock, Texas, a long, long time ago to come to Lubbock and start a college. And as the story is told, F.W. Maddox is sitting at a table with these West Texas businessmen who want to start a Christian college, and he said, "Well, that's okay. I'm not going to have to worry about going there because they're not going to have any money." So he went, but he talked to them. They had this conversation. It got to the end, and they said, "Well, Dr. Maddox, how can we convince you to come to Lubbock, Texas to start this school?" And he said, "Well, we'd have to have some money." And they said, "Well, how much?" And he said, $5 million. That's in the late 50s, folks. $5 million was a lot of money. And the story is told that a cowboy oil man at the end of the table took off his cowboy hat, took out a checkbook, wrote a check for $5 million, slid it down the table and said, "Dr. Maddox, what next?" I'm kind of glad that all happened because, you see, there's this man from northeast Mississippi, a little town called Corinth. He went to Hawaii, and on the GI Bill, he came back to go to school because in Hawaii, he figured out he needed to be a minister. So he comes to Lubbock, Texas at the age of 26. He meets this girl who's a freshman. Dad didn't mind to rob the cradle. And they fall in love. Not really. They have a really kind of a rocky start, and my children are starting to learn the story of their grandparents. They don't know how in the world their grandmother ever said yes, but she did, of which I'm quite grateful in Lubbock, Texas, she did, because here I stand today. You see why Lubbock Christian's important? Well, Dr. Maddox lived in Searcy. I was a youth minister for the college church. I knew he was there. I knew him and my dad had a relationship. I didn't know him besides about him. He's kind of a legend. He didn't just start schools. He did a whole lot of other really good stuff. At the age of 90, Dr. Maddox climbed up on a ladder to take down his Christmas lights, and he fell and broke his neck. They took him to Little Rock. They got him all set and put the halo in and everything. They brought him back to Searcy to start rehab, and the first night back in Searcy, hallucinating on pain medication, he ripped the whole halo out. His wife, Reba, who's one of the sweetest, gentlest women you would ever meet in your whole entire life, came to the church staff and said, "I need help. I'm going to stay with him from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. But I need people who will stay from 7 at night to 7 in the morning. I need men who will come and stay with my husband." Being the youngest and newest guy on staff at church, it fell to me to be responsible for people being there, which was cool. That's fine. I'm all good with that. However, when somebody wouldn't show up or have a last-minute cancellation, guess who got to go? On top of the times I was already going anyways. And may I just remind you that when this event happens, Amy, my wife, and I have been married for 6 months. We newlyweds. One time Miss Reba came to find me and she said, "We have a problem." I said, "What's that, Miss Reba?" She said, "My husband, you're sending these college boys to stay with my husband." "Yes, ma'am." "He is talking to them too much. He's staying up all night having these deep theological, doctrinal conversations, sharing them about the Bible and how to teach the Bible. The man loved to teach." She said, "The problem is he's fallen asleep in rehab during the day. They have to quit talking to him." I said, "Miss Reba, have you ever tried to get your husband to quit talking?" She said, "I know, but if you get up and walk out of the room, he can't follow you." Good point. So I started telling the guys, you know, eventually you got to kind of leave and make sure he's getting sleep. And one night I went and I was like, "All right, Dr. Maddox, I'm going to have to go out in the hallway." And he said, "You sit there, boy." I was like, "Excuse me? I know what she's told you. But I'm still the man of this house, even if I'm in a bed and unable to move." And I said, "Yes, Dr. Maddox, you are the man of the house. However, you cannot follow me outside and you must sleep." So we had a little tension there, if you understand. I'll never forget when the nurse came to the door and she knocked and it was kind of late and she signaled to me to come down the hallway and I went in the hallway and I said, "Yeah." She said, "Is he as important as he thinks he is?" And I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "Is he as important as he thinks he is?" I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "Well, we got a lot of people up here and, you know, they're kind of losing their minds, so they have these grandiose ideas that they're really somebody important." She said, "But did he really start a college?" And I was like, "Yes." "Did he really write the book, the first kind of definitive book against evolution?" "Yes." "Did he really?" And she went through this list, all of which were true. "Yes, those are all true." She goes, "Wow." She said, "Did he write a book with the love letters in the back?" Okay, now here's a story on that. His wife, his first wife, had Alzheimer's for 20 years. He never put her in a home. He never did not have a day that he did not care for her. She would travel the country with him not having a clue where she was or who he was. He did her hair every day. He did her makeup every day. And he would tell you it was very simple. I said, "Until death do us part." But when his wife passed away, he knew who he wanted to marry. Her name was Reba. He lived in North Carolina. She lived in Searcy. He wrote a letter to her. The first letter says, "Dearest Reba," and he goes on this eloquent thing, and at the end of it, he says, "I believe God has told me I'm going to marry you." that's letter number one. I haven't talked in 25 years. He's a little confident. She wrote back and said, thank you, Brother Billy, but I'm not interested. He wrote back, you will become interested. And 27 letters later, she says, I will marry you. And it's all in the book. It's like the notebook for good. And the nurse said, is it true? And I said, it's true. She said, every nurse here wants a copy. I said, okay. So I went back into his room, and he said, what did she want? I couldn't resist. I said, she wanted to know if you're as important as you think you are. What did you say? Of course not. What did she really want? She wants a copy of your book. Actually, all the nurses do. He said, I knew it. I heard him talking in the hallway the other day. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, there's a case at my house. It's in the garage up on the top shelf. You just go bring that to me, and then you distribute them. One of my regrets of life, I have many, but one of them at the top is I did. I took that case of books and went to his bedside, and he hand signed. He couldn't use his hands. I had to hold his hand and hold the pen, and we moved together. And it was not really a signature, but it was a signature. And I passed those books out, and I so bad wish I would have kept one. I have a copy. I bought it off eBay, but I didn't have a signed one, but that's another story. So you got to understand Dr. Maddox. You have to understand the influence he's having on me. We're talking about all kinds of stuff at all kinds of hours. And we had some code language. Young man meant he was going to teach me something. Andrew meant he wanted something done. Andrew, I need a drink, so forth and so on. And it's late one night, about 2 a.m. Dr. Maddox says, I need to go to the bathroom. In his state, he had to help with all of that. He made jokes about it. I came as a baby and someone had to change me. I'm going to die as an old man and someone's going to change me. But it's okay. He just embraced it. He didn't think anything about it, you know. And so we get him all taken care of and get him all situated back in bed. And he wanted a little drink of water. I got him a drink of water. I went back to that chair that's supposed to be a place to sleep. But you guys know what I'm talking about, right? The hospital, non-sleeping environment. And I'm about to just chill, and the lights are off, just his little nurse light is on, and he says, young man? Yes, sir? Do you want to know how to make love to your wife at 90? I've been married 6 months, may I remind you? In my mind, I thought, not exactly. What came out was, sure. He said, well, first, it doesn't work like you think it does. Well, that's good to know. I said, make love, which means that to your wife, you will do everything for her you know she loves. And in response, she will do everything for you she knows you love. He just rolls over, about to go back to sleep. He said, oh, and one more thing. If more people your age would figure that out, we wouldn't have a divorce problem today. And if more people your age would figure that out, we wouldn't have the problems in churches we have today. Because you can't love and hate at the same time. He rolls over and goes to sleep. I'm in that chair going, what in the world? One, nobody's going to believe what he just told me. Two, what does that actually mean? What does it mean at my house? You ever had a moment when you ask a question that you don't like the answer to? You know why? Because I knew immediately what the answer was to the question, and it was a made bed, and in my world, that's way overrated. You see, Amy and I got married. We're married 6 months. She has a thing for a made bed being neatly done with all 17 pillows in the right place. You need two. If you're pregnant, I'll give you a third. But 17 of them, come on. And I don't understand making something you're going to get back in. I got a bunch of guys out here going, And a bunch of girls are like, you don't get it. I know I don't get it. I'm confessing that to you. And Amy at that time would get up at about 5:36 in the morning. She'd be ready and out the door before I ever woke up. She went to the University of Central Arkansas, about 45 minutes away. She drove every morning with a friend. They would commute back and forth for grad school. And she had made some comments in our first 6 months of marriage, comments like, it'd be really nice if you would get up with me in the morning. Why do that? That's encroaching on sleeping. And I wish I could tell you that the next morning when she got up, that I got up because I was being a good husband. That would not be true. I got up because I had to go to the bathroom. And when you get up and you have that experience, some of you have experienced it even this morning, you got up, you wanted to go back to bed, but you couldn't. You're like, oh, crud, I'm in this stuck in between stage. And I'm stuck in between, and I go downstairs and think, Amy's in the shower, she's got no clue, we haven't even talked about Dr. Maddox or what he has said. And I went back upstairs, and I made the bed, put those goofy pillows all in their right place. I was tempted to make them backwards just for the heck of it, but I didn't. I put them all in their, you know, assigned spots. I went downstairs, don't be impressed. I just thought, what about if I make her breakfast? And it wasn't breakfast, 2 Eggos and a glass of orange juice, any of you can do, so that's not a big deal. And I took it, and I took it upstairs and put it on the bed and went back downstairs and watched SportsCenter. That was in previous phase of life. Now, children, I don't get to watch it so much, but that's okay. And Amy came down the stairs, and when she did, you would have thought I gave her $1 million. I was like, that's interesting. She leaves. She calls me about halfway through the day, and she said, hey, you want to have dinner tonight? We didn't ever do that. Time, youth minister, schedules, you know, we kind of crossed in the wind. I was like, yeah. She goes, all right, well, it'll be ready about 5:30. Okay. And if she was here, because it's funny, when I tell this story, people are like, really, she did? She was here. She would say, yeah, she did. Because when I came home that night, my favorite meal was made. That's what was on the table. She never asked. That was what was on the table, though. And I'm not always the smartest guy. I'm going to confess that to all of you right now, because about halfway through the meal, I made the following comment. If I knew I got to eat this every night, I might make the bed every day. Poor judgment. And so we proceeded to have a conversation, though, now about what Dr. Maddox had told me. And she said, Andrew, it's funny. She said, I just felt inside when I was driving to school this morning that that's what I should do. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand how love works? Do you understand the love that Jesus is going to write about? What it looks like is it looks like an action in the present tense, not the past. It looks like a challenge and a call to us and to respond. And how many times are we planted a seed inside of our heart of something we should do and we pass it off like, nah. And that seed came and Amy's like, I'm sure it probably came because of a made bed because I was just such shock. I was like, well, you know. And I'm not going to stand in front of you guys and tell you that every day I make the bed because that would not be a true statement. But I've learned how to temper tense moments at my house. A made bed and a picked up room go a long ways. I went back to stay with Dr. Maddox my next go around. I guess it was in my body language or something because I walked in and he went, you know I'm right. And we had a conversation about why that works. You know why? Because we're wired that way. When Jesus gives the instruction to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, he's giving an instruction of which you can accomplish. And sometimes that accomplishment comes in little bitty decisions, not in grandiose actions. My little bitty decision was to make a bed. Not complicated, not hard, doesn't take a degree. It was just a love in action. I'm technically out of time. Do you have time for one more story? Yes. All right. It's a parable. It's a parable of Scott and Mark. Two guys like a bunch of you who went to an event a lot like this. Neither one of them wanted to go. It was an event that talked a lot about love. Actually, a guy like me who stood up and talked about making a bed, maybe in your own home. Because, see, some of you have a lot of disharmony and problems going on at home that would simply be resolved if you got up earlier in the morning. Because every morning for you going to school is a fight because you think you have to sleep because the world's going to come to an end if you don't get enough of it. So you put the tents, it's just tents from the get-go, and then parents are involved, and then it's just like this. And next thing you know, grandma's got a call to talk you off the ledge that it's okay. At least that's what happens at my house. Grandma calls the 14-year-old to tell her that we're not as crazy as she thinks we are. That's how the parenting thing works out. It's fantastic. Not really. So Scott and Mark are at this event. Neither one of them wanted to be there. And they heard the simple challenge of, what would happen if you made your bed? What would be different about the world? Mark went home, walked out, actually leaned over to Scott and said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Scott thought, I don't know. Who knows? Scott had a single mom who was busting her tail just to get by. Scott went home and he thought, I wonder if that dude from yesterday talked about a made bed, if that really worked. He woke up early, actually set an alarm and responded to it. That's novel. And he got up and he made his bed and he cleaned his room. He took all of his stuff and he threw it in his closet. You know, it appears clean. Mom came and knocked on the door. Kind of the first knock, you guys understand, of, you know, multiple to get you out of bed. The first knock, but he was already there, standing there, dressed, ready to go. And she's like, hello. Are you okay? Son, would you like breakfast? Mom, I didn't know you knew how to make breakfast. She said, I didn't know you knew how to get up. He said, sure. And so they go downstairs and they have breakfast, quick, easy, but they have a conversation. They talk about life, what's coming, and about the girl. She's pretty cute. Mom's kind of a fan. Wants to know when she can come over. He's like, Mom, you want her to come over for dinner? Well, yes, son, I've been asking forever. So Scott and Mom get in the car, and Scott's not quite old enough to drive yet. They pull up to school, and there stands the girl. She's looking at her watch like, whoa, look at this. You're going to be here before the tardy bell. Gets out of the car. She's like, how did you get here? So what's going on? And she's like, oh, nothing. He's like, nothing. He said, well, hold on a minute. And he runs back and stops Mom. And he says, hey, Mom, so like, I really did like our conversation this morning. That was kind of cool. By the way, parents in this room, most of the time your kids enjoy conversation with you more than you think. They just like conversation that adds value and not criticism. Another conversation for another day. So he said, Mom, I really enjoyed it. And by the way, Mom, all I got to say is see if you can do that maybe for somebody today. It's something I learned yesterday. No big deal, but it's... So Scott walks away, and here goes Mom, and Mom is in a completely different state of mind driving to work. One, she's going to actually be at work on time. That's novel. Two, it's like, where did my kid go? Who was that kid? Wow. And then it's the mom feeling. You guys know what I'm talking about? The mom feeling. It's like, I just love him. Mom gets to work and she walks in and she's just happy. She's smiling. That's not her natural facial position. She has to work at the smile. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And finally, she walks in, and her boss notices, what is up with her? And he's like, did she get a date? Like, what's the deal? And so finally, about halfway through the day, after the fact that she showed up on time, which she hadn't done in a while, and she was kind and pleasant to everyone, she was really good at her job. She wasn't known for being very nice. You guys, some of you work with those people. So here she is, and finally about halfway through the day, boss comes up and says, okay, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but are you okay? She goes, I'm great. Why? Well, you just have been so different today. And she said, oh, I just got to tell you about Scott. He's amazing. I love this kid. And we actually had a great morning this morning, and it's just made my day so different. And the boss is like, wow. I wish I could feel that way about my kid. Boss walks away, and she hears the boss interact with a buddy about a big game that was going to be that night in their town and how much he wished he could get tickets to it and, you know, help men talk, right? And so she thought, you know what? I've been working here for 6 months. I really enjoy it. It's a healthier place than I've ever been before, but I've never told him thank you. It's a novel idea to be grateful as much as we criticize. You can't criticize and be grateful at the same time. So mom goes down the hall to a buddy, says, hey, you're the ticket man. I mean, every major office has the ticket man. The adults in here know what I'm talking about. What's the chance of 2 tickets for tonight's basketball game? He's like, ooh, you could be asking for a lot. She said, well, if you can, I just need 2. About an hour later, he comes by and he hands her an envelope and says, all right, there's 2. By the way, who are these for? And she goes, it doesn't matter. And she wrote a note to her boss, and it just simply said, thank you. Thanks for giving me a job. Thanks for this place. Thanks for the security it has provided. I'm grateful to work for you. It was handwritten, stuck a note in the envelope with the tickets, and at the end it said, and here's some tickets as a thank you from me to you for tonight's game. Folks, some people call that brown nosing. I call it treating people with love. They're not the same thing. She puts the envelope in his box, gets to the end of the day, and he walks by, and he sees in his box an envelope with a handwritten note. Handwritten notes, by the way, go miles. There's a handwritten note in his box. If it had not been handwritten, he wouldn't have picked it up. He'd have waited till the next day. But he saw it, and he took it, and he was just walking out the door, walking to his car. He opens this envelope, and he is in a state of disbelief. Partly because, one, he didn't know if she even liked working there. 2, he had had a really hard day with other employees, and it was actually nice to be told he mattered. Some of you, a great thing you could do this week is tell your teachers you're grateful that they're your teacher, because there's plenty of people telling them they're bad. And he had 2 tickets, and now he's excited. And he gets in his car, and he starts calling all his buddies, like, you're not going to believe I got 2 tickets to tonight's game. Can you go? And all of them said no. Like, that's cool, dude. Way to go. That's cool to get those tickets. But, nah, I can't. I got this or I got that. So about after his 4th or 5th buddy has said, no, I can't do it, he thought, what if I invited my son? He gets home, runs inside. On his son's door upstairs. He hears shuffling in the background, and then, come in. Hey, I got 2 tickets to the game tonight. You want to go? Dad, did you not invite your buddies? Well, yeah, I did, but they all can't go. You want me to go? Yeah. Yeah, 2 tickets. Can we go? In fact, if you'll get ready quick, we can go eat. Then the son thought, can we go eat Chinese? He said that because he knows his dad, like me, doesn't like any food that ends in E. Chinese, Vietnamese, Japanese, no. He's like, sure, we can go to Chinese. Chinese buffet, basketball game, let's go. They go, they end up having this amazing conversation. The conversation at dinner is amazing because dad shares with son some of the dumb decisions he's made. Son's 18. He's trying to figure out what's next in life, and he just feels like nobody's in his corner. And dad's like, actually, when I was 18, you actually have it a lot more put together than I did. It's novel, parents, when we're honest with our kids about the journey we walked. And then they went to the basketball game, which was a thriller, by the way. Double overtime. Their team won at the buzzer. And they're just so excited. They get home, and they just come in excited, and mom's there, and she's like, what is this? Who are these people? Moms love it when their kids and their spouse have a good time. It's amazing how much moms' faces just light up. Dad went to his room. Son went to his room. Dad just can't stop talking. He can't stop talking about dinner. He can't stop talking about his secretary giving him tickets. He can't stop talking about the game. He's just gigged. It's like he's got the shot of adrenaline and he didn't have to take 5-hour energy. Healthy energy is an amazing thing. And he told his wife, he said, turn on TV, you got to see this shot, it's amazing. She could care less about basketball. But she wanted to care because he cared. Novel. Come in. Hey, Dad, thanks for today. That was a lot of fun. I thought you might want to see this. Turn around, he walked out. He opened up a piece of paper. The top of the piece of paper said, "I don't matter. I'm not needed. I love you, but you did not love me, and I'm sorry. Goodbye." There was a line drawn through the piece of paper. "Dear Dad, I was writing this when you knocked on my door this afternoon. I wanted you to find me dead." Because I didn't think I mattered. Thanks. Thanks for taking me. Thanks for loving me. I look forward to us doing it again. Love you, Mark. P.S. I guess that guy yesterday at that thing was right. Sometimes it really does matter. It's a parable. Where did the life change come? From a dude who decided to make his bed. Because love did. And in response, a snowball started for good. Oh, we can talk about poor decision after poor decision that leads to poor decision. And sometimes we can talk about being at the wrong place at the wrong time to do the wrong thing. What if we're at the right place at the right time to do the right thing? And the right thing being love. I'll be eternally grateful to F.W. Maddox for helping me understand what love means when Jesus says we're going to love our neighbor like we love our God and with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And while it's a parable, it's a story that can be true in your life too when you go home and make some different decisions about how you interact with the people who matter to you. When you choose to interact out of love. When you choose to make statements of communication. Because love does. I've enjoyed immensely being here this weekend. It's a long ways to come in a weekend, not going to lie. And I think tomorrow at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, my students are going to wonder if I'm awake even. But I love being here because I'm encouraged to know that you're here. I'm encouraged to see that there's people in Eugene, Oregon choosing to love. There's kids making wise decisions, and I've seen you. I saw this guy right here making a huge wise decision yesterday. I was way proud. I even took a picture, and he didn't know it. Because I watched him love somebody like you're supposed to love somebody. That's all I'm going to say. I watched this dude over here. We were talking about BMX biking. He made one of the most profound statements I've heard out of a dude under the age of 15 in the last 10 years. He said, because there's been an event in his life that he's grateful for that most people would be ungrateful for, and because that event's introduced him to God and Jesus, right? That's big stuff. So I'm encouraged by being with you, and may I challenge you today to be people of love. That we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that we love our neighbors as ourselves. While the story of Mark is a parable, parables can be true when we choose to live them out. That love can change things. Let's pray. God, thanks for this weekend and thanks for the opportunity. A lot of stuff we've talked about, a lot of stuff we've looked at. And for the hearts that have been touched in whatever way, I pray that the desire for love will just increase inside of them. May we be the people, dear God, that you've called us to be. May we love in powerful, powerful ways. Thank you for being our God. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Maybe you have a need this morning. Maybe you know you're not loving. It's true. It's not happening. It's not a product that is seen in your life. And to do so, you need some help. You need some people to come walk with you, to be faithfully present with you so you can love. Well, come on, let's help. Let's know of the need so we can help. Or maybe today you need to say yes to Jesus so you can know the ultimate love that comes because of the ultimate sacrifice. If you have a need this morning, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.